Jesse Lloyd is an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artist from a family of gifted musicians. And for a few years now, she's led the Mission Songs Project, an effort to revive the folk music of state-run reserves and Christian missions. Not the hymns sung in church on Sundays, but the songs sung the rest of the week. And there's a whole tradition of music here, spanning the 20th century, and Jesse is determined to save it, reviving lost songs and reclaiming a cultural history. RN's Jeff Wood has the story.
Oh, give me a land where I may roam, where no others would build and call it their home.
Mission Songs Project is an initiative to research and revive contemporary Indigenous folk songs from the missions, settlements and reserves from all around Australia. So basically the old songs from the mission days when our people were restricted from practising culture or talking in lingo and having to sing songs in English at church. I look for the songs that they were singing after church.
Now, I think your aunties gave you the idea for this, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, my two aunties, well, one of them is my adopted mother, culturally adopted, Lillian and Linelda Geyer. They usually sing church songs, and one day they sang a song that wasn't a hymn and got me curious, and they told me that they were singing an old song from Palm Island.
When the Irish sails away across
about an old boat called the Irish, that the old people used to sing when everybody who was removed was sent over to Palm Island, and this was the boat that carried everybody in this beautiful song about a seafaring boat and saying goodbye. So I figured there must have been more songs and more stories related to other families and other communities across Australia, and so I thought I'd better go and look for them.
So farewell till we meet again. When the Irish sails away,
tell us about the missions. I guess a lot of people might not know today what the missions were or were about.
Oh, well, different states had different policies and how they dealt with this sort of native affairs. With Queensland and my family, they had the Aboriginal Protection Act, which of course inspired apartheid. But it was a government policy that had created segregation and isolated people into missions, settlements or reserves outside of townships, and had curfews, and of course was where the stolen generation were taken to, mixed race children and people who were considered troublemakers or nuisances to society, but were of course just sort of our people who were displaced off country and had nowhere else to go. So the missions were kind of, you know, in the context of things, quite complicated and controversial and hard and sad, but at the same time, these were our people's homes. They made it their home, and you know, generations of families grew up there and have lived there and made it their own.
When the Irish sails away across the sea.
The missions were run by the churches, different denominations, but the state-run settlements were run by the state, and the settlements of the reserves had churches on them. So it was different in different areas, but generally with sort of our Indigenous community, we'll refer to these settlements or reserves as missions as well. But I think it was very much the missionaries that introduced our people to Western music and instruments because they had to sing at church. And our old people just took those music and skills and kind of adapted to their own feel and to things once church was over.
They're mission songs, but they're actually, you were saying today, the songs that they sang not on Sunday but the other 6 days of the week.
Yeah, that's right. There were six more days in the week. There's songs about people travelling, people coming to visit. There's songs about the war, songs about food, I don't know, saying goodbye to loved ones. They just give a beautiful insight into what the day-to-day life was on the mission, whether people were cutting cane fields or working on the pearl luggers or laying tracks or on the stock routes.
What was the attitude of the churches or the missions at the time? Did they know about these songs? And if they did, Did they do anything about them?
Oh, I think it depends. It depends on the missionaries and their attitude. I actually just had a really interesting conversation with a lady about half an hour ago. She came to the show and she said that her father was a missionary on a mission up in North New South Wales, and quite conservative denomination, I think. And she never remembered hearing any of these because her father wouldn't allow them to sing anything other than hymns. Whereas I know that there was other churches quite open about language preservation, and they translated whole hymns in the local tongue. So, you know, allowing that sort of cultural continuation there. So it just depended on the places.
Sarah Red, miles and miles away. Sarah Red.
Now, how did you find these songs?
I did a bit of travelling. I picked my family's brains and that were the songs that we grew up with, which was a good start, a good context, and also a good advice from my family to give the green light to go out and represent my family. But I get most of my stuff from elders and old people, senior song men and song women, cruising around the country, and most of my travels on the East Coast and also across to Darwin and Broome. But there's a lot more to go, and a lot of these old people also give that background story and personal experiences which are more than you'd find from just hearing a recording.
When you say old people, how far back do these songs go?
From 1900 to about 1960s, really. But a lot of the stuff I've got is maybe from the 1920s, 30s. You can hear a lot of influences from different things happening around the time, like the war or the popularity of country music or the South Pacific kind of musical styles, and, you know, the American sailors and that coming over. You just hear those cultural infusions and adaptions as you would anywhere when people mingle and jam. It's just whether each community has been enabled to continue these songs for the last four or five generations. Some communities have done it successfully and they have quite a large repertoire that they can maintain, like especially up in the Torres Straits, you know, a lot of people still singing them old songs. And some other places, you know, nobody's singing them anymore. A lot of the old people who are still around, they just were never the singers. So they remember the people singing, but they may not remember the songs.
So it's handed down through families, word of mouth.
Yeah, oral traditions, definitely, from generation to generation. And the important point about that is the Mission Songs Project is an important work to show that Indigenous people are still maintaining song traditions post-colonisation. You know, we talk about the song traditions in pre-colonisation times of song lines and all of these language things, but with the Mission Songs Project, it shows that we're still continuing those song traditions. We just sing in English and on Western instruments, but these songs are still being passed down from generation to generation, and also they also are relevant to the cultural, social and environmental changes that are happening, and in 100 years' time, 200 years' time, these songs that from the Mission Songs Project will be considered traditional.
Sarah Ray, Sarah Ray, Sarah Ray, miles away. Sarah Ray, Sarah Ray, Sarah Ray, miles away. God Amun, God Amun, God Amun, miles away.
What we're doing in the Mission Songs Project is, as I focus a lot on the harmonies, which is a group singing, basically trying to create the feel of, you know, sitting in the backyard, I'm going to have barbecue, somebody grabs the guitar and everybody starts singing. That's the kind of communal feel that I try to create. So give people that experience that they may never have if they don't know any Aboriginal communities or have never really been, you know, engaged in that way. On the album, there's some beautiful instrumentation that I've chosen, pedal steel guitar and piano accordion. I try and create that old-time feel. And also, more personally, is because those are the instruments that my grandfather played. So I guess in honour of him and his musicality, I put them instruments on there, and of course the ukulele.
You mentioned the album, the songs back home. The last track on that album is a medley, and it includes a hymn. I mean, as you've said, most of the songs weren't church songs, but you've included one church song. Why was that?
I think it was a good example to show how a song can travel for 100 years and take different shapes and different forms and have different purposes. And, you know, this is the cover song of the collection. This is a song that isn't written by an Aboriginal or a Torres Strait Islander composer. It's also known as the Māori Farewell. But a lot of Aboriginal people, our elders, claim this song because the sentiment of family leaving and you didn't know if you're going to see them again still applied. So they claimed this song, and, you know, I was talking to some of my Māori family and they taught me the Māori version one. But I remember the tune growing up because my family go to church. The tune was to the hymn, Search Me, O God. So we do a medley. We do all three. Now is the hour, Search Me, O God, and the Māori Farewell, as a way to showcase how the same tune can have different purposes for different people, but with the same sentiment of you just wishing your loved ones well and you hope to see them again.
Now is the
medley of songs, including the hymn Search Me, O God, and Now Is the Hour. The tune was adopted by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples living on missions in the early 20th century, and it's now being revived by Jessie Lloyd and her collaborators on the groundbreaking Mission Songs Project. If you like the sound of that, have a listen to the 2017 album, The Songs Back Home. Or you can catch Jessie Lloyd and the Mission Songs Project at the National Folk Festival in Canberra over the Easter long weekend. We'll put all the details on the Soul Search website.